Good afternoon, down to brass tacks.
Be unto you in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, Mrs. Hines.
Yes.
Right.
Not Mrs., but go ahead.
Yes, please.
Well, Mrs., but not Mrs. Hines. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I overheard a gentleman speaking just now about disability.
Yes.
People who are visually impaired. And they wouldn't be able to go to YouTube and Twitter and all like that. What he said is not definitely true.
I was wondering. Tell us about it.
There are programs that persons with disability can use to use the computer just as well as any person with vision. But the program is costly. What I would like to ask, because it will cost over a matter of about $1,500 to $1,600 to buy the program, a program called JAWS.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever heard about it.
I haven't.
Right.
$1,500 Barbados dollars.
Huh?
$1,500 is the cost
about
of the program?
About $1,600, about $800 US.
Okay.
I think that could come to that. What I would like, if it was possible, that some assistance could be given to persons with vision disability, not being able to see, if they could be helped by some way with the program, so that they could be able to use the computer.
Okay.
And that they would be able to, you know, still get information. And just because I use the program, and it is very helpful to me so that I could be, I can go to whatever information I want to check on. I can look at whatever I want to look at. You know, when I use the word look, I mean generally speaking, you know, not that
yeah.
I can see. But it is very helpful to me. And if some people want to do something, they could offer to some persons with vision disability to help them to get the program. And
okay.
I think that would help a lot of poor people to bring them, what you call, because...
To give them access.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what really happened is for you to be here sitting down when the day come, only just could listen to the radio, can't understand what is going on and so. But if you could get on the computer and interact,
yes.
You know, you could write your own letters, you could write emails, you could, you can do a lot of things with the computer. And really, I myself have offered, I've been using the program for years. And I offer to help even some people who are blind. I offer to help them to be able to use the program to show them a few things to go through. If in any way I could help, I would be glad to do so.
Well, what you're saying is very interesting to me, especially as we hear all of these discussions about using technology to help address COVID and so on. And there certainly are ways, it sounds, that technology can be used to help people with disabilities.
Of course, very much, because I am very proud of any program that I hear on television, radio, or anything like that. I know how to get what information I want, and it brings me from up underneath the bed. You see, because people see that when you're blind, just go out of the bed and keep there in that corner, don't move. You know what I mean? And therefore, you could be very lively and bring back a sense of life to yourself.
Yes.
So I would be glad if one thing that I can speak on the behalf of persons with disability, vision and disability more so, I would be glad if corporate Barbados, because I know it happens in Trinidad, people are assisted, persons with vision disability are assisted. Even, for instance, the library in Trinidad, you can go to the library and you'll be a blind person. You can go and read and do any kind of study that you want to do. So therefore, I would like to say that on the behalf of persons with disability in the sight and vision and whatnot, you know, it can make them very lively and put back at least 60% of, you know what I mean, entertainment back into their lives and everything. Yeah. Tell them don't shy away from technology. Mm-hmm. Technology is there. It is good and it is bad. It's just that you using a fountain pen or you using a knife, because you can use a knife to peel apples and you can use a knife to hurt someone.
Yes.
So I use the program. I don't go to what you call sites that I hear people talking about and all that sort of thing. I'm not interested in that. I'm in the educational division.
Okay.
And therefore, I try to educate myself. There's so many things if I had to tell people that they can learn and be informative about if they were to just get acquainted with the technology.
Right.
But that gentleman who, don't let him believe that blind people cannot interact and communicate with YouTube and Twitter and Google and all them things. Any question I want to ask, I ask Google.
Okay.
Because Google knows everything.
Well, thank you for providing us with that information and clarification. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines. We have just about another hour, so please get your calls in. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Hines.
Yes.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to call in very quickly to talk about the visually impaired statement that was made earlier.
Oh, good.
Some of the things of the last caller I agreed with, but not the first one. We know, as the caller said before, that technology is a part of our everyday society now. And this is many, many years ago I'm talking about. This is when Senator Ifo was the president of the Senate, like when she was now appointed.
Yeah.
And as we know, she is also visually impaired. And she showed me how she operated on her phone at that time as a visually impaired person.
Okay.
So, you know, operating Google, YouTube, all of the Senate notes and everything like that. So the technology does allow us to, especially the smartphones and tablets, allow us that opportunity. I mean, even as persons who might be able to have vision, you know, we can use the phones the same way.
Yes.
Where it speaks out the things for us and creates vibrations and different things like that.
Yeah.
So for the caller to be not this one, the one before that, to say that, you know, that there's no, that, you know, sending people to a website and whatnot does not help them, I think is very inaccurate because they operate everyday life. I think what would be nice to, maybe what he's saying is that maybe persons within that community aren't getting enough education as they should on those things, or maybe are not, can't afford some of the devices that are out there.
And I'm wondering, too, if he's talking about how information is provided to the public. So is there sensitivity to the different ways in which people can access information on the basis of their abilities and also access to technology, as you're saying?
Exactly. So to me, I think it's more about access and it's more about now taking the step further and sensitizing out the general public who may not be visually impaired or not hearing impaired to, you know, especially during these COVID times, to give more lenience to those things. Businesses setting up their COVID protocols in a different way. Like, I know, for instance, like if you enter Sky Mall, they have that scanner thing where it, you know, you put your face in it and whatnot. So maybe that needs to be updated, or maybe somebody needs to stand there, especially for persons who may be visually impaired as they come through, to know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that to say that people can't access social YouTube and Twitter and whatnot, I think is a false information. I think what would be nice to maybe is having persons from the Disabilities Association on Down to Brass Tacks or other media outlets to talk about the things that they do and how these persons operate, because it is making it seem as though that these persons don't live a regular life when they do. As I just said, we had a president of a Senate who was visually impaired and operated accordingly. And I know persons within my own community who are visually impaired, and they operate just as normal as I do. So my concern when it comes to that is that I'm realizing that a lot of the traffic lights aren't giving the sound signal as they used to before.
This is to cross the street.
To cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are ones like the one out by the Princess Alice bus terminal, which doesn't have a sound attached to it. So that is my, if you're talking about the government's role, it is those things. It's about creating more sidewalks for wheelchair accessibility.
Oh,
and
even stores, I think. I remember I broke my ankle, and that really was a revelation for me, because getting around was so difficult, dealing with lack of sidewalks, going inside of stores and not being able to, you know, fit through some of the spaces. It's very inconvenient, and I couldn't imagine how you maneuver in a society if that is your daily experience.
That you don't have that. Because I remember there was this guy when I was growing up, when I going to school and traveling on the Bay Street Road, every morning he was in a wheelchair, was going, and he was in the same lane as cars because there was no sidewalk for him to maneuver on.
Yeah.
So I think it's those kind of things. But to say that that they can't access the technology, to me the technology is there, and I know that the developers of technology are making the moves more and more in creating a more inclusive environment for everyone. So,
and I think we all benefit from it too.
Thousands of dollars. Exactly. As I said, we all benefit from that, because sometimes there are things, I mean, that you have audio books and all those things. Those, you know, we as persons who can see or persons who can't see benefit from it the same way.
Yeah, and I always use things like the captions when I'm watching television. I find it so useful. So all of these things we can benefit from is,
so
you know, serving
things,
one group but serving everyone.
Exactly. Maybe it might be time now that say a certain media houses, like when you have like The Nation or Barbados Today or CBC, when they put out things, maybe using captions and different things as well as part of their output. But I think that it is a nationwide thing and not really reliant on one administration or net thing government.
Okay. Thank you.
But just very quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
My next point is two things quickly. On the debate last night, I heard a lot of people said that they don't see the sense in it. I personally saw the sense in it, especially as a resident of St. George North and as a young person.
Did it help
and
you?
Many of, if it helped me, it didn't, in the way that what was presented to me was more of a panel discussion and not a debate. I don't think the moderator was the best choice. And I don't think it was set up. And the questions were very softball and very not targeted towards, as you had said earlier, the constituency. It was more towards national issues, which should not really have been, because unless you're in Miss Moore's situation where you're on the government side, you really can't benefit from national, do anything nationally.
Right.
But I don't think to say that the debate in a by-election doesn't make sense, because technically a general election is 30 by-elections on one day. So I think that just as it is important in a general election, is as important in a by-election, especially now in this time when we haven't had a by-election for a long time, and you have a government who essentially has all the seats in parliament except for one.
Right. Okay.
So, and with COVID and different things. And then lastly, I'm just concerned with the removal of the Nelson statue, not the statue itself, but rather the date.
Okay.
I would like to hear more about it. To me, because it falls on November 16th, which is the UN International Day of Tolerance. And that sense, I'm not sure what we're to be tolerating. Are we to tolerate the colonial system? Are we to tolerate Nelson on a whole? It is very unclear. I don't know why that date was chosen, and I think I would like to hear more on the minister on why that date was chosen on the day itself when it's being removed. But, you know, and what the process is going to be like. Is it going to be moved right away to the museum? Is there going to be something placed there to say that this statue was there, or is that going to be at the museum? I personally don't think that we should remove any of the other. I know persons were calling for buses to be moved there. I think buses are in one of the most perfect locations.
I agree.
It's on a major highway that people see. I think what would be nice is just putting, once again, involving technology and creating something that speaks about that space and about our ancestors, you know, jumped overboard, were thrown overboard, or were auctioned right on that spot, because that was the auction spot. And there are many enslaved buried under there, Independence Square and the BTM car park. So I think more of a historical sense, but I'm just questioning it. I thought August 23rd was more of an appropriate day, having it be the last day of the season of emancipation and the International Day of Remembrance of the Slave Trade and its Abolition. I'm not too sure about the UN's International Day of Tolerance and what that history, how that history ties in to ours at this present moment in time.
I'm not really sure.
November 30th at sunrise would have been a new beginning, a new era, a new dawn.
Well, I suspect they didn't want anything to be in conflict with the substantive independence celebrations. And after that August deadline, self-imposed deadline had passed, that they just looked for another day. I can't say definitively, but I suspect that's the case. I'm happy that the statue is being removed, though. Whatever day they choose to do it.
I'm glad it is, but I'm just very concerned with the date in which it was chosen. Because to me, it's given a double entendre, if you want to say, in that sense of mixed messaging.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call.
No problem.
Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on Brass Tacks.
Me?
Yes, you?
Yes, okay. Yes, I'm just calling, concerned about the water problems in Warner's Gardens.
Okay.
Two days ago, I went to teach a couple children that live in Warner's Gardens, and I had Christine to park my car out at the entrance of the gardens to get in because of the flooding of the water. And this is not only me. This was most of the people in the neighborhood that had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever out here floods, now I don't live out here, as I said, but I'm very conscious of flooding because I live in St. Peter, so I'm very conscious of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was appalled to see the amount of cars and persons. We had to actually walk through, deep high water to get to the homes that I was coming to, along, of course, to the people who live out here.
Oh, dear.
And luckily for us, a guy with a truck gave us a transportation to where, because some people are going as far down as 6th, 7th Avenue, which is a good little way. And I really, and this is 20 years apparently, the people told me that they were calling and speaking and asking to have something done about that. And I really would like the authorities to come and have a look. I think somebody came from the ministry, but that was about it. It's all well and good to come and see, but you need to at least get back to the persons and say, well, look, this is what will be done when it will be done. We know it cannot be done in a day. So I'm saying that once the rain falls, like how it fell a few days ago, you really and truly have to make up your mind not to go to work or not to go to school, because you can't get in and you can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
For me, it was actually the second time I was coming up here. But of course, the time I came previously was there was no flooding. It was a normal day. But I'm saying that day I came, I think it was either Tuesday or so, I had to actually park my car. And I was told by some of the neighbors, you cannot drive the car any further. So you had to park on a grass piece and get it. So you know what happened? You're soaked from head to toe. So I really do think that the authorities who are the reps for this area, constituency.
Tell us the area again so that everybody
Warner's
knows.
Gardens, Warner's just Gardens. Off of Sheraton.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you're going down to Tino Terrace.
Yeah.
So I had to, at that, well, that day, I had to, you know, abolish going and teach because it was like I was also wet. I had to take off my shoes. And, you know, I don't think that in 2020 we should really be dealing with this type of thing. Yes, you have water flooding down from hills and so on because, as I said, I live in St. Peter, but not in areas where you have to get to your home. You can't even drive your car in your garage. So I really would like to, you know, appeal to the authorities, whether it's Ministry of Transport, Drainage, to come and have a look. And there are some concerned residents out here who really would be willing to give that information to the persons.
Okay.
And I really do think that residents in areas need to do that. They need to, you know, because if you have a representative, that is what a representative is supposed to be doing, following up and looking after his or her constituents.
Definitely.
No, really.
Yes,
you know, it's
I
all
agree.
Well and good to be a politician and a minister, but I think you're a representative first and foremost. And I really think that you have a duty to those persons, whether they have elected you or not. You are the representative for that area. And I think the onus is on you every so often, especially in times like this, Christine, where, you know, you don't have a clue what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people like me, because I'm really calling on behalf of three or four residents of the area, because not everybody has a voice.
And it sounds to be extremely frustrating and
it is
inconvenient.
Frustrating. Yes, and, you know, I teach, and I was unable that day to really, well, that day and the other day, to come to the boys that I teach. So I really would like, you know, the authorities to really look into that, you know. And the debate, I didn't really think it was a debate either, to follow on from Mr. Glenn Murray. I really thought it was a question and answer segment. And I was not really, you know, in high spirits because I thought that a lot of the issues were national.
Yes.
And I lived in St. George myself for 20 years. I don't live there now, not St. George North, but I did not think that a lot of the issues were specific for the specific area, St. George North.
Okay.
It did not deal with a lot of the things in St. George North. Mm-hmm. And there were more nationalistic issues. And I would have thought, and I sat to listen, to watch, I really was listening each time to hear the issues concerning the North.
Yes.
Of St. George.
Okay.
So I and I am a very, you know, plain speaker. The truth must be told when it's the truth. And the truth is, I'm not going to high-five the debate, because it was not a debate in my own estimation and in my intellect. I thought it was a question and answer segment.
Okay.
And I do not say yes to things that are not to be said yes. If it's no, it's no.
Okay,
and
fair
you
enough.
Have to be fair. Life is about being fair.
True.
So that's my, because I teach young minds, girls and boys, there are a lot of things that I am very opposed to. Because I do not think that we need to infiltrate our young minds with things that are that you feel and I feel. And we have a lot of that going on. So
well, thank
that's
you.
My contribution for today. And have a wonderful weekend.
You have
nice
a great weekend,
to you.
Too.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hines.
That's me.
Greetings to you.
Greetings to you, too.
And to all our listeners and guests. Last night, while I was watching Channel 8 News, I saw there that there's help coming for underachievers. Now, this is very good. And I personally would like, any time it come around, that I will voluntarily like to assist with helping in that environment. However, sometimes the problem is lived with, because I'm a man of the cloth, faith, man of faith. And in a democracy, when they hear people of faith, regardless of wherever you, whichever faith you belong to, be it Muslim, Hindu, Christian, or Rastafarian, they tend to reject it on the basis of some sort of conflict.
Okay.
What I would like to say is, though, that most faith foundation is based on moral guidance and love. However, the challenges come from tradition and customs and politics. That will really cause the problem. I would just want to mention one passage of scripture to you that does not contain no religious affiliation at all, or paraphernalia, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a passage of scripture that says this. Whichever of you men going to build a tower and do not calculate the expense. Because you will go and start to build and then you cannot finish it. And then people will ridicule you saying this man started to build and he could not finish. So that is a very common sense thing. It just shows you to make plans first before you take action.
Mm-hmm.
As you see there, there's no Jesus in there. There's no God. There's no hallelujah or Holy Spirit and nothing like that. But that is a passage of scripture.
Okay.
And there are many more that in the Bible that does not have any sort of religion. There are just natural moral principles and values and common sense.
All right.
So I'm just saying that to those who will be orchestrating that segment to get the underachievers, you know, get them up and running, because these are our future.
Okay? So they should be open to people of different faiths helping.
Yes. But not only that, ma'am, they don't want to say to you, well, don't preach. But they can at least tell you, well, listen, due to the demand, just try to use as much morals and principles to guide all you, especially if they are underage, because that part of that of their life belongs to the parents.
Okay.
Not necessarily us. The parent can decide once you are under 18, decide whatever they want course they want their child to go.
Yes.
When the child get an adult, then they can make their own decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
So then I would hope that. When it come on, I can be able to. I will volunteer my services, man. Cause I like to talk to all youth.
Okay.
I want to see them. I don't like to see the way they're going. Cause I wasn't brought up that when I grew up in Barbados.
Yeah. I also don't like the term underachievers, because you know how calling somebody an underachiever sounds as if you've already made a judgment. But thank you for your call. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines, and I welcome your calls. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm on?
Yes, you are.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hines. I want to ask you a question. In my opinion, one of the biggest things that would cause a government to lose power is neglecting its constituents.
Okay.
And I made a statement on Wednesday concerning a problem that there was in the Woodburn area. And somebody wanted the charts, or somebody up concerned the MP calling and saying how this body went and the next body went. If they were coming around, that situation would never get to the point where if that was posted on social media, it's only after it was posted on social media that the MP came and brought the people, because he had to be shamed.
Mm.
A neglect of constituents is one of the biggest problems in this country.
Okay.
When the water get in, the riot down, the water get this, the water do the next, the water do the turf, and when them get in, they just neglect and feel like you are an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That when they come wrong again with the goodies that you used to accept, I do not operate at that level. And that's why I would be the person I am until I die.
Okay. You said you had a question?
No, that's the question. If you don't feel that neglect of constituents is one of the biggest problems of causing people to lose power, to lose the seat.
I'm not sure, you know. there's a way in which people do vote for a particular representative when we're dealing with a general election, but mm-hmm. people also do vote for the party that they want to see in charge of the country, ruling the country. So I am not sure. Sometimes you could have poor representation, or maybe representation that is not adequate for a particular area within a constituency, may not be the whole constituency, but people still vote for that candidate because they want to see the party in power. They have some kind of connection to the party. So I'm not certain that this is actually what loses elections.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
I am very different. Because you, as an MP, ain't going to neglect me. I support, and I'm trying to say supportive, but I was their party. But the candidate got in my area, I would never vote for him again as long as he lives.
Okay. Well,
I would vote for the
choice.
Opposition in order to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I ain't sticking to no one MP.
Well, that's you, but not everyone votes in that way.
Huh?
Not everyone votes in that way.
But I will hope that people vote that way.
Well.
I will hope so.
Yeah. Well, representation is important. This is the primary role of your MP, to provide representation for you. So whether or not that person is in the cabinet, they should be lobbying to have things, whether or not they're in the cabinet. They could be in the cabinet, they could be a backbencher, they could be in opposition. They should be lobbying to ensure that the needs of the constituents are met. So
the roads in my area is so bad, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Bad, you're getting that are going to town and all your but.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to election, them can come tell you that they want my vote. The thing is, they don't want to see them. As I said before, I want that from them. I would die first before you beg a politician. That's me. I never hope people adopt that type of attitude and mind so as to let them know that they mean more than a body. Whoever they are.
Okay.
Thank you, Miss Ice.
Thank you, too. Good afternoon. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Am I on?
You are.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Hines.
Hi.
I listened to a gentleman calling a little earlier about the video with those children. And
I'm only now seeing it myself. Go ahead.
Exactly. I was going to ask if you saw it, because what he said does not gel with what the whole of Barbados is seeing.
Yeah, certainly what I'm seeing is a little bit concerning too. Go ahead.
Exactly. So the video shows, for those who don't know, a group of children in front of the Glee Church Activity Center, because they're having classes in there. They're class 4 children who are having classes in there, who are grouped together and assembled for a photo. Now, the gentleman said that it was spontaneous. Now, if it was spontaneous, it means that parents were not consulted. It means no parent gave permission for their children to be assembled for that video and that photo. There was absolutely no social distancing. They were bunched together. Ministers went in between those children for their photo positions and their photo op. One minister is heard to be telling the prime minister she wore that uniform. And at no point am I saying to myself, did she not know that is not right? Then someone said to the children, say more. So you have this group of children bunched up with these ministers, cameras going off, videos going, and they're raising their thumbs. And as minors, they're instructed, so they follow instructions. And they all started to say more and more. Now, my concern there is, was there nobody there who could say, listen, this is exploitation. This is not right. These children have not come to school for this. And I would like the Ministry of Education to explain how it is that our children who are sent to be in their care for 6 hours during the day were not protected from this blatant exploitation.
Mm.
Not all parents vote. Some do not vote based on religious reasons. There are some parents of those children who may not support more. So why would a government and the head of the government and senior ministers engage in that type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And the child care board needs to tell us if this is not exploitation of our children, because they had no right to be manipulated in that manner. Our children are not decorations. They're not objects to be utilized and manipulated. They have rights as well. Mm-hmm. And the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child speaks to those things. And the Ministry of Education has to tell the parents of Barbados why this was allowed to happen. Things are creeping up on us. People are not speaking out. People seem to be afraid to dissent. But when you see wrong like this, especially with those who cannot protect themselves, we have to be the voices for them. I thank you.
Thank you, too. I remember another instance in the last general election. This was with, it's probably nomination day as well, with Christopher Sinclair going to Ellerslie School. And there was this, the jingle that he had was very catchy. But I also do remember children from the school were like following and dancing behind him. I was a little, I don't know how I really felt about that, but yeah, it is something for us to think about. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have just 15 minutes left.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Peace be unto you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I am calling on a few points. First, I'm glad for the I don't know if the last gentleman, if he's visually impaired also, who was speaking about the programs on the, you know, you can get to help you along. If you're visually impaired, that you can go on the internet. I'm thanking for the information.
Okay.
And Ms. Fields, I like what she said. But, you know, there are people out there who I had an argument, and the person texting me, it was to know, but I don't mind. I know we vote and put ministers there to assist us where we can and to be a voice for us. And I totally agree with her and with Winter also, that they are here to help to assist us. But some, you only see them wrong for election time come and promises, and you don't ever see them not till election come again. So what she said is really true. We put them there to help us where we can help ourselves. And you should find some time. I know everybody can get help, but at least encourage us. Let us know that you're there for us and you care. But a lot of them don't. They only come along at election time. And when you call the constituency office, they have the secretaries like pit bulls, and they're protecting them. You can never hear them. Whenever you call, it's the secretary, and she taking the messages and giving you back the messages. You don't ever hear them. So I totally agree with them. Thanks to those who have good ones. But a lot of us, we don't even see them. I know I won't go to church, and I go to the church, don't even speak. Thank you very much, ma'am.
All right, you have a good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Hines, Edward Nation today, this is the second time I'm seeing it, where the port is saying that they scan 100% everything that's leaving the port. But that is a 20th century thing. We are now into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And no risk management approach at all, no assessment. Because if you do searches and you try to search 100% of everything, then you're not putting your limited resources to the best effect.
All right.
So
what
I would like to
do?
Hear where you have used some kind of risk management, where you get quality searches, probably less searches, but specific to what you're looking for. Maybe.
Okay.
From the origin it's coming from, whatever, but not to just search everything, because then by the time the day is almost through, the staff is tired, looking at a screen, doing 100%. 100% has gone out long time ago in terms of security. What is your view?
I do not know enough about this area, which is why I was asking you how they do it otherwise. So you're talking about it being the 21st century. Are there certain technologies or something that are available?
Right, because the scanner is a risk assessment tool.
Right.
A non-obtrusive risk assessment tool. So you use it to look for various things. But what I'm saying, if you try to do 100% of anything in this age without using, most things now are based on risk. That is might be country origin the goods are coming from, depending on you decide what you're looking for in terms of, let's say you might, if you're looking for drugs, it might be from Jamaica, it could be from St. Lucia, whatever. So it depends on the origin. If you're looking for guns, most likely U.S. or whatever. So your origin dictates, along with some other factors, what the level of examination you do and when. But if you just do 100%, I don't know what you're looking for really to
but
do.
If you 100%, do 100%, you should catch everything.
Hmm?
If you do 100%, you should catch everything. If you
but
do
you're
it
not.
On the basis, wouldn't you catch less if you do it the way you're talking about?
No, mm-hmm. not using a risk management approach.
So
you
why do you think they don't use this?
You put your limited resources
right.
to where the highest risks are.
Okay.
So then you would not look at everything based on your risk. Then you know where the biggest risk is coming from. And then you do that search.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a 100%, then you might do 50, which happens, and get more results than if you do 100%.
Oh, so how would you get better results? You might get the better use of resources. I can understand you saying that.
Better results as well. I tell you from experience.
But how would you get better results if you're looking
because
at
then
less?
The quality then of the examination that you're going to do.
Okay, so you're going to do a more detailed examination.
On the ones that mm-hmm. show the highest risk.
Okay. All right, well.
So when you get to your risk and you know this one coming from, let's say, a source country for XYZ, then the type of examination you do and the more time you have to do a proper examination of that. Good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. There was someone on the WhatsApp who also had a little bit of an issue with the port, in a way. The person was talking about the fact that people are not able to collect their own containers, and there is a possibility of things being, not containers, barrels, and there is a possibility of things being stolen out of the barrels, and they would like to have this addressed. There are a few people that have some concerns over the handling of barrels. Again, this is a topic on which I don't know enough to give anyone any feedback, but hopefully someone else can. We have another call. Good afternoon. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Hello, you're on the air. Have we lost that caller? It seems that we have. Well, let's go to the WhatsApp. There are some comments again about this video that has been circulating, and there seem to be two sides about it. On the one hand, there are individuals who are saying that Mr. Adley's statement is a misinterpretation of the video, and on the other, there are those who have been sending the video to tell me, see for yourself, see what's happening here. And there is also a concern, not just about there being children, but the social distancing. And I think this is something that we all have to remember, even as we may be a bit more relaxed sometimes with COVID. I know sometimes I am as well, that we have to still focus on maintaining our distance, doing our mask wearing, and all of the things that we are supposed to do. What I would like to also say, though, is even though we are very concerned about COVID at this point in time, we have to remember that there's still other health issues that we should be concerned about. Right now, I know there is a creeping issue with mosquitoes and dengue fever. I know quite a few people have caught it recently. I think chikungunya is still around, even though nobody really talks about it. And I read some articles relating to both Jamaica and St. Lucia, I believe, where they've had some instances of chikungunya and dengue, more so than chikungunya. So these are all things that I think we should still be thinking about, even in a COVID moment, remembering all of these areas relating to health. We are soon going to be out of time, so if there's anyone who wants to get a call in, the lines are free at present. We can continue to look at the WhatsApp. Children get excited when they see the PM and this is what happened. There's someone who's also commenting on this issue of the port. indicating that airports do 100% scan on passengers and their bags. Random scans would be 80% effective. I thought the same thing too. But as I said, I'm not an expert in this area. Maybe somebody that deals with some of this, logistics or something, can tell us a bit about it. We have a call on the line. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I want to wish you well. You have such a pleasant voice.
Thank you.
A very calming kind of thing.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I promise that if ever we have a little conversation in the future, I will try my best not to be as agitated and as, you know, temperamental as I'm accustomed being over the years with some of the other lesser gifted, lesser prepared to be patient individuals who would rather challenge me in every point that I make. All I ask you to do is to agree with everything I say.
Oh, well, we'll see about
that.
Would
that be difficult? Huh?
We will see.
Let me thank Starcom for the support that they've given to the unveiling this evening. I may probably get another opportunity to do that this evening. I do not know, but I'll take the opportunity to say thank you very much for all you guys at OCM and everything. I am sure the Mighty Sparrow is himself indeed very glad that this kind of thing is happening. And he also will be thankful for all the support that has been happening in this part of the world and the media house.
Great.
I am so indebted to you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, is that it? Well, thank you for your call. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon. Just want to ask one question. Did Mr. Stevens or anyone in authority when asked the trade confirmers for the money that was taken out of our country, sending one of our natives to the mental institution because she lost all of her money? I'm just asking that question.
What is that? You need to clarify this for me.
I'm just asking the question with the pyramids and whatever. Mm-hmm. Trade confirmers were here, and they went along with all of our money.
Oh.
People who put money in trade confirmers, if you were too young, ask your granny or your mommy.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about it. For people like me who are too young.
Yeah, but they came in and they opened up their bank or whatever institution, and Barbadians took up all of their pennies and ran to this place, put in their money, and then tutus that were shut, doors closed. Nobody shut down the airport or the seaport to grab these people, and they went home with all of the cash that the Bajans had put into that place. Mm. And I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, we are checking up on them or anything. Why are they going after these people with this pyramid? As far as I understand, it's doing a very good job,
okay,
and it's helping people able to put ground.
Well, some things may be helping some, but not others. I hope that we will all have a wonderful weekend, that the rain will subside a little bit in the areas that have been flooding. This has been Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Christina Hines, and I was ably assisted by Mr. Johnson. Thank you all so much for spending the day with me.